entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Schiff and Eric Swalwell, they would not pass a security clearance to be the crossing guard at your local school, let alone be one of the most important intelligence oversight people in the country. There are hundreds of Democrats that are more qualified to serve on that committee. And Sean, there used to be a time where you had term limits. First of all, there should be term limits for all of Congress, but term limits on how long you serve in that committee so that you don't reveal this intelligence and you don't get compromised like Eric Swalwell is, obviously, as was briefed by the FBI.
There you have it. The words direct from Jason Chaffetz, former Utah congressman, appearing on the Sean Hannity program. He is a Fox News contributor. This is January 26, 2023. I love it. We said they wouldn't even qualify to be the crossing guard at your school. Well, of course, you go to the other side, and Adam Schiff, Adam Lying Schiff, says basically, McCarthy is going to destroy all the trust we have with our intel agencies.
He will cause the intelligence agencies, I think, to distrust this action. And in combination with the formation of this so-called Select Committee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, which ostensibly will have access to classified information, it will only, I think, breed distrust within the intelligence community as to what it can share and what it can feel confident about sharing with the Congress. That will impact policymakers in terms of the information that we have to make decisions about how to protect our national security.
Yeah, like he's concerned about national security. Adam Schiff, when he was head of the National Intel Committee, just would come right out of the meetings. He couldn't say directly what happened, not to the general public, but he had sources, and he knew the sources would be running right to his state-controlled media friends. Former South Carolina Congressman Trey Gowdy.
The Intelligence Committee, which I served on, is a select committee. You either get selected or you don't get selected. So, look, Swalwell was a bit player. He's honestly not worth talking about. He was a bit player on that committee. I'm going to talk about Schiff. For a decade, Adam Schiff has kept you from information that you should have had, like the dossier, the fact that it was used in a FISA filing. Who paid for the dossier? He went to court, Sean, to keep you from finding out things that were true. And then on the other hand, remember the whistleblower that he met with but said he did not? The allegations of collusion. The reason the media is upset is because now the New York Times and the Washington Post and Politico are not on the Intelligence Committee. Because Adam Schiff was the most serial leaker that I served with. Jason may have another opinion, but he was a serial leaker, which means those news entities now are not getting the information that they never should have gotten in the first place.
Absolutely. And again, Trey Gowdy also appearing with Jason Chaffetz on Sean Hannity. And he's right. Now the New York Times no longer has somebody inside the Intel Committee. They never should have. That's why you're not going to have Adam Schiff serving as on the Intel Committee again. Certainly not going to be chairman. And same thing with Swalwell once he got caught having a romantic affair with a Chinese spy. All but Swalwell says this is just McCarthy being vengeful.
The claims that Mr. McCarthy has made about me that I could never get a security clearance, Mr. Schiff was also briefed on and supported me staying on the committee because the FBI said three times, all I did was two things. I helped them over and over, and I was never suspected of wrongdoing. The Washington Post, in response to Mr. McCarthy's claims, gave him four Pinocchios, which is a whopper, the highest amount that they can give for one of the biggest lies that you could tell about somebody else. So this is purely about political vengeance.
So for his background, for his basis for his allegations, Swalwell relies on the Washington Post giving out its Pinocchio awards. Well, now House Leader McCarthy, who makes a decision, who sits on the Intel Committee, he says, you don't know half the truth.
If you want to talk about Swalwell, let's talk about Swalwell, because you have not had the briefing that I had. I had the briefing and Nancy Pelosi had the briefing from the FBI. The FBI never came before this Congress to tell the leadership of this Congress that Eric Swalwell had a problem with a Chinese spy until he served on Intel. So it wasn't just us who were concerned about it. The FBI was concerned about putting a member of Congress on the Intel committee that has the rights to see things that others don't because of his knowledge and relationship with a Chinese spy. They brought it to the works of the leaders. I've got that briefing. So I do not believe he should sit on there, that committee.
And I'm going to trust McCarthy as to what he knows that we don't know. And, of course, he said the FBI told us stuff that they don't think he should be on the committee. That's exactly opposite of what Swalwell claims. Well, of course, we also have to know how much has the FBI been compromised. Senator Rand Paul says it's pretty dirty from the top down.
I think it's swamp fever, Potomac fever. The ones closest to the swamp have become infected with influence and power in politics. You know, I play golf with a retired FBI agent. He's conservative. Most of the agents that I meet in the field are conservative. They're typical law enforcement kind of people. But then when you meet the politicians, the FBIs, the, you know, direct array, you see political animals, Comey. You see people involved in politics. God forbid you talk about Brennan or Clapper. Since they have left office, you've seen how far left-wing they are. We should have suspected as much with, you know, Brennan, since he supported the communist candidate in 1976. But really, it's a political class up here that is corruptible and become very left-wing. The Peter Strzoks and his mistress, these are the people infiltrating the FBI at the highest levels.
At the highest levels. Well, if you're going to start cleaning house, you have to start at the highest level. But exactly, Senator Paul, what is needed?
We need a thorough cleaning. It's only going to happen if we get a president who gets rid of the top 10% and brings in some law enforcement people from out in Kansas or Kentucky or someplace, people who truly are law enforcement people. And let's repopulate the FBI at the top with real law enforcement people, not
only
politicians.
And I think the FBI rank and file would love to have true law enforcement at the top, not politicians. We got a lot to cover over the rest of our program today. Project Veritas undercover operation showing that pharmaceutical company Pfizer is maybe developing new viruses just so they can develop a new pharmaceutical that you'll have to use. And Trump is back on Facebook, and DeSantis vows to keep critical race theory teaching out of schools. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels. Oh, number seven, Tennessee.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So let me give you some chronology quickly. A few days ago, the Biden White House got all upset with Governor DeSantis. No surprise there. But they were saying that the DeSantis administration is denying class entry into Florida public schools, characterizing American history as critical race theory-laden teaching. They said, that's not what it is. DeSantis responded by saying, no, the drafts of your official materials, which the College Board had refused to release publicly, include queer theory and characteristic extremist Black Panther-style racial ideology as representing Black Americans. Well, now the White House said, we'll revise this. My guest, executive editor with The Federalist, Joy Pullman, says, nah, don't be so buying into that. And Joy, glad to have you on board with us.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You say there's every reason DeSantis should be skeptical of promised revisions to this plan.
Yes. I mean, there's many of them that I list in the article we're talking about, but I do think a chief one is the very fact that the I would say it's farther than bias. It's really extremism and to the point of being falsehood put out, you know, in these curriculum materials that they already have been rolling into schools in a test drive of them. You know, any entity that puts that out as if it is what high school students or anyone really should be learning to characterize the, you know, Black American experience really doesn't deserve any credibility. And there's a lot of other reasons. You know, they've claimed to revise other kind of extreme leaning leftist biased materials in the past with actually failing to do so according to independent leftist scholars. You know, so this really is an organization that can't be trusted. And that's kind of the bottom line on why I think it's right to continue being skeptical of their claims.
And you point out in your article, and again, this is Joy Pullman, executive editor for The Federalist, and it's titled Why DeSantis Should Be Skeptical of Promised Revisions to the White House AP Revised Class. You point out that the College Board alleges its curricula used in public schools and funded almost entirely by tax dollars compromise trade secrets and therefore cannot be released to the taxpayers paying for them.
That's right. You know, taxpayers across the United States are paying, you know, tens of millions of dollars to this private organization, the College Board, every year. You know, it runs not only these advanced placement classes that we're talking about, but also the major college entrance exam, the SAT. You know, so probably any, you know, most people are familiar with them. And taxpayers are paying them tens of millions of dollars every year through, you know, contracts with states to put these products into public schools. You know, so they're getting the bulk of their income really does come from taxpayers, and their job is to create materials that are in public schools used by public teachers. You know, and of course, it is just a basic principle in this country of transparency that anything the public pays for, it gets to see.
Well, yeah, you should. And you're a mother of six.
Yeah.
Correct? I mean,
that was the other thing I was going to say.
Yeah,
and anything that's related to minors, you know, that is in my underage children are encountering as a mother, it's also my right to see what someone is giving them in school. So on both of those counts, this kind of atmosphere of secrecy is ridiculous. And I think it's suspicious and should be, you know, another reason for skepticism of this company that makes
Joy.
a lot of money from taxpayers.
Joy, you're a terrorist. You're a terrorist, obviously. You're obviously a terrorist. You're complaining about school boards and how they're trying to shove stuff, indoctrinate your children instead of educate them.
Well, I think, you know, obviously you're pointing out that terrorism has been added to the list of mean words next to racism, you know, that's always hurled against people who don't agree with what the people in power want to demand that we all march in lockstep, you know, and verbally saying. But obviously, I think fair-minded people are aware that just basic disagreement is a fundamental feature of free American life, and I'm still allowed to voice my opinions to you and anybody else if I like.
Well, now, here's the other thing. They as a college board, they're getting taxpayer dollars, but still they're supposedly presenting themselves as, we're unbiased. We're just doing what's best for the kids and education. And yet you point out in your article, they are so closely aligned to this White House and had also been with the Obama White House. They have, they are hand in glove.
Oh, I mean, that's right. You know, so I pointed out in this article that the College Board is now run by David Coleman. That's the College Board's president. And he is known as the architect of Common Core. So he had face-to-face meetings and very close working relationships with the Obama White House or education officials, including Arne Duncan, Obama's education secretary, you know, throughout the Obama years. So, you know, so clearly in this instance here, he had a little PR disaster with Florida's governor saying, look, we're not letting racist curriculum into our state. You know, and so it, he called on his White House contacts and he got, you know, the White House press secretary all the way up to the vice president of the United States, you know, to go to bat for him in public. So that's really high level connections. But what that really does is proves that the College Board is a really actually partisan organization. It really, you know, it's very convenient for it to claim that it's in for the best interest of kids. But when it acts, you do see it acting in a very, you know, partisan manner. Getting the Vice President of the United States to lie about, you know, what this college, this organization is actually putting into the hands of children.
I want to ask you this. Do you think she's even read the curriculum or she just took the word?
I highly doubt that she did.
Yeah, that's
right,
what
you know.
I thought.
But what she's been told to say is a lie. It's just a falsehood, you know.
Well, now, you write in here, and I want to read a section of this. It's time to be done trusting the College Board. That organization has helped prop up a corrupt system, abused its power out of sight of parents and taxpayers for far too long. It's time for real scrutiny, not only of all the materials it puts out, but also of how the College Board classes look when rolled out into classrooms and the corrupt and broken higher education system they ape.
Yes, I mean, I don't think, but I know, you know, based on survey and other data, that a very, very large number of Americans are really dissatisfied with this country's so-called higher education system. You know, and even if you take away all the, you know, major political bias that we know is happening on university campuses, the return for massive, you know, billions of dollars in taxpayer money spent, as well as the, you know, years of the lives of the young people who go, at least you know, about half of which, you know, don't get a degree out of going to college and spending their time and money. You know, we've been for very many decades spending more and more money on a system, you know, from which almost half of the graduates graduate, you know, learning essentially nothing, having, you know, not increased their skills and their knowledge over their 4 to 6 years spending the money in the best years of their lives. And Americans are aware of that lack of value and of the years and money spent in many higher education institutions. And so, you know, the College Board is kind of a real beneficiary of all of pretend credibility of these institutions, and it also you know uses that sort of corrupt model to essentially defraud taxpayers and students out of an actually good education.
Yeah,
now, of course.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I mean, I was just you know, of course, American kids should and are learning you know about African American history. It's a part of American history, but what they need is not to have you know a class that's saturated with bias and communism. They deserve to have a really robust, excellent course in, you know, in American history that teaches them, you know, the major events and people in context and really gives them a framework for the rest of their lives. Instead, they're being really cheated out of an education with classes like this because of the bias and the censorship, frankly, that's being happening with them. So it's cheating the kids, it's cheating taxpayers, and that's why people don't like it. They're aware of that.
Well, to that point, Governor DeSantis also said it's basically including queer theory in AP courses for Black history. How does that fit in?
Well, I mean, of course, I mean, it does under this. So because this class really actually isn't about actual African-American history.
Right.
What it is about identity politics and pretending that, you know, all Black Americans are somehow closet communists, which is just a smear and false. You know, so it's using sympathy and concern and interest in African-American history to, again, give people completely something different. And that's really, a con that's being perpetuated here. And it's kind of the same kind that happens in higher education more broadly.
You mentioned Common Core earlier. Is this just a rebranding of Common Core and actually adding more ammunition?
I mean, I would say that the two projects are philosophically aligned, but Common Core is kind of completely different in terms of subject matter. It's more of a skills-based sort of dumbing down of the curriculum for K-12, but it didn't really affect, identity politics classes such as those at the college level. So they're kind of, there's some similarities, but they're generally, I'd say, pretty different.
So you're advising that whatever the board comes back with their revisions, which will probably be approved with the White House, I call it a head fake. They're not changing anything.
I mean, that's what the College Board has done in the past. So it's reasonable to expect them to be doing this again for PR reasons. And to be frank, you know, it's worked really well for them because, you know, until DeSantis, Republicans have not, you know, cared, frankly, enough about the quality of education in classrooms to ensure that children are not getting warmed over ideology from one political side. You know, so that is a major failure. College Board has been really successful, you know, basically cheating many American kids out of a really high quality education that they deserve to have delivered to them with tax dollars.
And you pointed out something from one political side. In other words, this would apply if it were being done the other way as well. And I would agree with you. Just teach the kids the basic things they're supposed to be learning. Don't indoctrinate.
And I absolutely support the idea of advanced, you know, humanities classes for kids.
Sure.
But what nobody supports is pretending that, you know, substituting ideology and political stoking of grievances for actual knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of history and the various aspects of human nature that are contained in the study of the humanities. You know, I graduated from a liberal arts school with an English major, and I think all of that has many, many fruitful avenues for discovery, but really what's happening, you know, kids are not getting that in these kinds of classes. They are getting, you know, little capsules of racial grievance and agitation mongering, and that is far less, they do not deserve to have that education cheated away from them in that manner.
One other thing before we let you go, you have out a new book titled 101 Strategies for Living Well Amid Inflation. Give me two of them. Just give me two of 101 that'll help me live better.
Oh, sure. I mean, a super easy one anybody can do is just cut out, you know, to eat out less. You know, basically, you know, if my husband and I go out to dinner, which we do enjoy doing, you know, but that will blow the entire week's grocery budget for a family of eight in one night. You know, so if you're looking to cut corners, that's an easy one. Another one that I like to do is I actually build my weekly, you know, dinner and breakfast menu around the things that are on sale at the grocery stores that week. So I wait until, you know, their new weekly flyers come out. I look at them online and then I think, okay, what are meals that my family likes that I can build around what's on sale?
Right.
So those are two quick ones out of the book that are pretty simple.
And very good ideas too. Joy Pullman, Executive Editor of The Federalist. Again, we thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
You bet. Joy Pullman has out that book, just out, 101 Strategies for Living Well Amid Inflation. Ackerman Toyota wishing you a great 2023, but Jay Ackerman knows that times are tough for some. So Jay has a mission to help charities that truly make a difference. Food banks, veterans groups, charities battling cancer, head injuries. Jay wants to give back to the community. So I personally ask you to consider his mission when you're shopping for a car. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. There is a great story about how John Beal Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beal family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beal. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So, you know, we have the border crisis going on. I know. The White House says there is no crisis. Karine Jean-Pierre says they're not really walking across the border. And, of course, President Biden finally made a trip to the border, going to a very sanitized region of El Paso after they'd cleaned the streets of the homeless and the illegals camped out on the streets. And he walked along the Great Wall as if he built it. Did not apologize to the Border Patrol agents for the remarks he'd made about Border Patrol agents using whips to attack Haitian refugees coming ashore, illegals. And they didn't. They were simply using the reins of the horse to keep them away from the horse so they wouldn't be hurt. And his view of the border was so pristine. Of course, he doesn't see the problem. But if you live there, you do. And if you live there, you're seeing it get worse. And New York City Mayor Eric Adams went down to the border and he saw firsthand. So this is what's coming to my city and my state now? Yep. And your president is not doing anything to stop it. And they don't show any indication they're going to. And that is why there's talk already among House members. Since they now control the House, Republicans, we will carry out impeachment hearings, and the first on the target list would be Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. We're going to hold him accountable for what he's done. He's violated his oath to protect our nation and our security from enemies, foreign and domestic. And I've got some news here. This number will be staggering for you. It comes from the Princeton Policy Advisors. They're estimating right now that we're going to see almost 3 million illegal aliens cross the border before the end of this year. Before the end of this year. That would mean we definitely have 5 million plus illegals coming across. But here's the more staggering figure. If you're driving, do not lose control as I tell you this. Please keep control of your vehicle. They are now speculating, based upon what they've already seen and based upon the border apprehensions, those are the ones we've actually caught and gave a piece of paper and said, okay, you need to come back and appear and explain why you need asylum if that's what you're seeking. See, we do give asylum, and we should. But once they leave the country where they were threatened and they're in a new country, then ask for asylum there. No, they come all the way to our border because this White House has said the welcome mat is out. But here's the staggering number. At this pace, we are reaching, just among the apprehensions, the number is beginning to approach 1% of the total U.S. population. 1%. We're not only going to lose our border, we're going to lose every part of America we have. We're not talking about those who are coming here that are truly seeking asylum. We're talking about those who want to come and take away jobs. And a majority of likely voters in a Trafalgar Convention of States action poll shows that 55% of most likely Hispanic voters oppose amnesty for illegal aliens and for those claiming asylum. Only 3% support amnesty for both groups. So even those who are coming here for other reasons, a majority of Hispanic voters say they oppose any amnesty. You're illegal when you came in here. You came across our border illegally. You're still illegal. You should not get amnesty. Simple point made. Will it be heard in D.C.? I doubt it. But Project Veritas has done a new undercover investigation, and they found out Big Pharma is working to make you buy more pharmaceuticals.
So on the Hunter Biden story, other platforms, I think it was Twitter, sort of just deleted the story altogether. We didn't. You could still find the story. Millions of people did. But for 7 days, the prominence of the story was less for those 7 days. It's just part of the way our systems work to allow our fact checkers. We have a network of independent fact checkers to look at the story if they wanted to. They didn't. And after 7 days, that what's called in the jargon, that temporary demotion was taken off. So we didn't remove it. People could find it. Many people saw it on Facebook. We were simply following the rules by which our systems currently operate.
Again, that's the global director for Meta, the parent company of Facebook, talking about how they were handling and what they were not doing about the Hunter Biden laptop. So we didn't really take it off. It was available for folks to see. Of course, you really had to find it, first of all. And then when you did find it, I don't know for sure how much you were given. Now, he says they took it off. Again, this is Nick Clegg, the Meta president, says we we were having fact checkers look at it and see what for sure they were finding that was fact and what might be false. But they weren't doing it. They didn't do it. They weren't doing any kind of check. They just kind of let it sit there. So after a while, it just kind of, well, I guess we can just kind of roll this over and be done with it. Is that it? They ignored it is what it amounts to. It's exactly what they did. They absolutely ignored it. And the reason they ignored it is because they knew, they absolutely knew that it could be damaging to them. They were going to ignore this whole thing about the Hunter Biden laptop because they also knew that Twitter and others had also put out the word reacting to the FBI, it might be simply Russian propaganda. And they had no problem with lying about it. They had no problem whatsoever about making up excuses. They had no problem whatsoever about trying to rewrite the story in the process. They were simply saying, as he says here, well, we were just doing our normal fact-checking. We assigned some fact-checkers to do it, but they didn't do it. So they weren't really making an effort to let it go out. And when he tells you it was available there for you, you had to dig and find it. You were not going to find it easily. I mean, if you had been able to find it easily, I guarantee you it would not have been because they made it easy for you. Because that would absolutely go in reverse of what they were trying to do to destroy Trump. But they were rushing forward and saying, we're going to fact check the laptop story. But we still made it available. There were a lot of groups that when they started trying to go online to talk about it, if they did find it, they got disbanded, broken apart. He's not mentioning that. I know of several people said, you know, I just simply started talking about the Hunter Biden laptop thing the other day that I found on Facebook because he had found it. And next thing I know, our group's busted up. He said, I don't understand it. I said, the answer is simple. They might have put it out there for you so you could see it. But they thought it would just be zoom, going by like that. And then you don't talk about it.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We're exploring, like, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate ourselves so we could preemptively develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're going to do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating f***ing viruses.
Yeah.
So okay. We're like, do we want to do this? So that's, like, one of the things we're considering.
Okay.
Like, the future, like, maybe we can, like, create new versions of the vaccines and things like that.
Okay, so Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No. That's why it was a thought that came up at a meeting, and we were like, why do we not? It was like, we're going to consider that. There'll be more discussions.
Okay.
That exact reaction, right? We're like, wait a minute. Like, people won't like that.
Yeah, people won't like that. You were listening to Project Veritas undercover video, and the speaker was Gordon Walker. He's a Pfizer Director of Research and Development. And he's sitting there talking matter-of-factly about how Pfizer is now kind of working with mutations of COVID, basically creating different variances. And then, of course, then they would develop a pharmaceutical that would take care of the variant. He's asked specifically by the Project Veritas reporter, again, it's undercover, would you call this gain of function? Oh, no, we're not doing that. We're going to create a variant, and then we will say, look, now we got a drug that will handle that variant. In other words, money making money, create another virus, make more money, another virus, make more money. And he said, but we don't want to really be public about it because we don't think the public would like it. You're damn right we don't like it. We don't like the fact of the way these pharmaceutical companies are ripping people off to begin with. And now you're telling us indirectly, oh, we're already manufacturing diseases that we'll suddenly have a drug for. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.